Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show, where we discuss the concept, history, and application of black people leaving the slavery, suffering, and death of our former slave masters to create our own society based on freedom, justice, and equality. Our mission, and yours, if you accept it, is to seriously discuss, debate, and vet the concept of separation and its various implications as a viable solution for black people in America. And to analyze the historical and current separate societies and consider their models and implementation of our own. On this week's show, our Time to Leave Separation Preparation Panel will discuss the current events from a separation point of view. We will entertain your questions, comments, and observations regarding separation. Okay, the topics include community building and development, physical relocation, self-sufficiency, assisted living, skilled trades, and apprenticeships, all the topics that we need to discuss to build a nation for ourselves, to build communities for ourselves. We need to talk about this because it's time for us to make a move. Anyone who watches the local, who listens to the news, the national news, knows that the only solution, as we're taught by the Honorable Elijah, the most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, is to start societies. We have to separate. I mean, it's not even a debate anymore. Anyone who's not open to us starting our own communities or discussing it, they're really not serious about securing a future for our people. So we have some, I'm your host, Brother Carlton Muhammad, actually your program coordinator. And tonight we're going to have an open panel discussion, and we encourage you to call in, press that number one on your dial and ask your questions. It doesn't matter how question is silly or how serious it is, go ahead and answer it, and I'm going to start to open up some lines and bring our panel on. Sister Majida, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, sir. How are you doing today?
I am well, by the grace of Allah. And yourself?
I am fine, considering all that's going on in the world.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
ma'am. There's an awful lot going on. I mean, I just read that there was a black man kicked, in addition to the murders in the fast food places, there was a black man that was kicked out of a Cracker Barrel shop. So it's like right now we can't even go get respect in a fast food service place.
Right, right. I mean, the momentum for us to make the decision, as the minister said in his recent lecture on the Holy Day of Atonement in New Jersey, separation or death. So things are starting to ramp up. So if any of us are unsure as to whether or not this is a good topic to discuss, whether or not this is a time for us to even consider making a move, everything that's going on right now in the news currently, it's going to help us make a decision one way or the other, unfortunately and fortunately.
Yes, ma'am. I just opened the mic for Sister Ann and Dr. Visually. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, wa alaikum salam, sir.
How are you all doing?
Fine. Fine. Yes, I'm listening to Sister Majida, and she is absolutely correct. And when Dr. Risley comes on, I'm sure he already told him about us separating. I mean, today, with all that's going on around us, it's time for us to stop whining and complaining about what the white man is doing to us.
Yes, ma'am.
It's like we don't feel like we have any options. And that's a terrible position to be in. Well, mm-hmm. in one sense it is, and then in another sense, if you have a spirit of fight and determination in you, when your back is against the wall, that is when you come up with the best solution for that problem. So our backs are up against the wall. I was out today. I had to run out and get a few things. And what I found myself doing, in one parking lot I parked, and there was a young white couple who came and parked right next to me before I got out of my vehicle. Now, I sat in my vehicle until they got out, because I was not going to be walking with him behind me. So it's making us now have the same kind of feeling that they always had of us, being suspicious that we're going to, you know, we're not good enough to be in the same space with them. So it's making us feel that way now. So I know if I feel that way, others have to feel that way too. So I know we have some options. I'm looking at and reading all of this information on Facebook, people are just talking about how bad it is. We just wallow in the terrible things that he's doing to our people. I understand there was some sister accosted in a Waffle House someplace else. I mean, what is it going to take? I mean, I just fixed waffles at home for myself today.
Right.
You know, and I know I have a better waffle than a Waffle House.
That's right.
Yes.
And they never give you enough eggs at home. You can prepare the number of eggs that's going to satisfy your waffle and whatever else you want with it. So, you know, I posted something someone sent to me today. The message talking about us being lazy and filthy. Mm. We got to get out of this laziness. Come on now. Go buy you a $15 waffle iron.
Come on.
And until you learn how to make it from scratch, buy you a box of Bisquick or something. You know, but we're working on getting you a better product to have your own wholesome waffles at home. But until the meantime, the things that we can do for ourselves, we need to find ourselves doing.
Right.
We can all cook a meal at home. So there is no excuse. And, you know, that brings to mind something else I used to think about all the time when I was in social services working program. And I often wonder, why are people hungry? You know, I can't understand it. You've always been able to buy a pack of seeds with your food stamps. And I was telling Sister Medita this just last week about me driving. I was on my way somewhere, and I saw these plastic pots that had probably flown off of somebody's pickup truck or garbage truck. And I said, wow. And these are pots you usually have to pay for, the big 25-gallon plastic containers that trees probably come in.
Uh-huh.
I stopped my car on the side of the road, and it was three of them. I had to go from one side of the road to the next. And I put those things in my trunk. They're in my front yard now, filled with red onions, red potatoes, hot peppers.
Mm.
So, you know, a pack of seeds costs hardly anything. So to me, there are reasons other than just not having access to food that people in this country are hungry today. It's a lot of laziness in us today, and we've got to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to get out of that. That is why a lot of us don't want to separate, because that means work has to be done. You talk about buying land. It's not land that's already cleared and got all of the necessities on it. Somebody's got to go to work.
That's interesting. Yes, Matt, can I like
to... Yes, sir, go ahead.
On the work, I'm going to make a comment. As you all know, I'm actually broadcasting from Oakland, California, where me and Sister Medita are from. And it's such a paradox here in the Bay Area. It's like about the metropolitan population is around 3.5 million. And the paradox is economy is doing well for those who have. Money is flowing. And for those who have not, they have the biggest homeless encampments that you can ever see. I was in the Home Depot here, and I was talking. I saw a brother I hadn't seen since I was living here, and he's a plumber. And he's an older brother. He's probably a little bit older than me. And the brother, you know, we gave each other the greetings, and he said, business is great, brother. I'm doing real good. And I said, well, you know, I'm working here, you know, because I live in Georgia now, but I can come here and, you know, get some of this California money and build my put it towards building something for self in Georgia. And I asked him, did he have any young brothers that he was able to apprentice into the plumbing business? And he shook his head and looked down and said, he said, none of them want to work. And I said, now you got some sons, don't you? He said, yeah, yeah. They don't want to work either. And so it's like here, this brother has something he can offer that he wants to offer to your young black men. And I have something, and it's difficult for us to find workers when we need somebody themselves.
Oops, you're breaking up.
Okay. So why is that? Why is it difficult for us to find people, the brothers, that want to do something for themselves with us?
Well, I'm on a farm, and I've had young black men and women to come out here to work, and a number of them have this dream that they're going to be discovered as a rapper. and go make it big in New York or Hollywood. I'm serious. And you know, you look at them and you say, you know, you don't look that good, all right? And what I hear you spitting in terms of your rapping ain't that unique. But yet you won't take up a profession skill because you are trying to hit the big time. And this is a big problem, is that the way out of the ghetto and the black community, even out of a rural black community, everybody is looking towards making it big in some type mm-hmm. of entertainment field. Whether it's basketball, football, singing, dancing, acting, modeling. But what happens, they wind up going to these places thinking they'll be discovered and wind up getting used, abused, raped, impregnated, infested. And then they're ashamed to come back home because they are failures in the city. So there is a systematic
right.
Destruction
right.
of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And they show you the lifestyles of the gangster rappers. They show you how uncouth they are. And so you think being uncouth
mm-hmm.
and rowdy is now good
mm-hmm.
in our sisters. When I was coming up, you know, you had to work and try and look on the black woman's dress. You ain't got to do that no more. All through integration and us following
mm-hmm.
behind our open enemies.
That's right.
So I started a thread on Facebook, and I just also did a video on it, because I think that our problems are psychological. Okay? They're psychological. Even those who say we believe, we still have some psychological problems in terms of some blockages. And I just chose one, and that is, you know, why should we build in America if America is going to burn for 390 years? You know, that's a part of our teaching, that the plane that Master Farad Muhammad has can ignite the fire over America and burn it for 390 years. So I put that up, and then I went and got the quotation from the minister of quoting the messenger on that very issue in Time What Must Be Done, Part 53. And in that, it describes the power that the plane has to do this destruction. But then it says, if and when. And then the minister repeated it. I said, I'm going to repeat that. He said, talking about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if and or when it will be put into effect to destroy this part. So what does he mean by that? So again, these are conditional. What if, for instance, the white man left the country and Allah gave it to us? Why would he need to burn it for 390 years?
Right.
Okay. And another thing that Sister Ann brought to my attention, and I put on my Facebook page, supposedly there's a brother in Zimbabwe who has a car that runs off of energy that you can pick up from the just driving around based upon the electromagnetic impulses that have been spread all the time through the radio waves. You know, everywhere you go, you can pick up a radio signal. That's energy. So, you know, I don't know about if his technology can work, But suppose that it does. That would completely transform not only the transportation, that would completely transform Zimbabwe.
Mm.
If Zimbabwe was able to manufacture a car that basically runs on energy that's freely available, a lot of people want to buy that car. Now, the brother said that he got that knowledge from God. Well, what if Master Farab Muhammad gave him that knowledge? What if Master Farab Muhammad gives us some knowledge once we are separated?
That's
because
right.
There's no need to give us any knowledge now on high technology. But all we can do is get on Blog Talk and talk about it. Because we are not prepared
right.
to manufacture anything. Because we don't want to manufacture anything. We don't want to work.
Hmm.
So if it ain't a flute or a fancy jukebox, we don't want it anyway.
Hmm.
So the Chinese have far outpassed America in a lot of technologies. And as a matter of fact, we're buying everything from China. The Chinese, according to what Mr. Farrakhan gave us to read from the Chinese, they got a whole sector of their government that claims that they're in communication with people on the wheel. And that's where they're getting technology from. Well, I mean, that's what the Chinese government people say, and considering they outstripped the West, I have to say they're getting it from somewhere. So how come we can't get it? Well, the Chinese, they're able to manufacture it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not able to manufacture a shoestring. Because we don't want to. We could, because we're working in the white man's factories and his helping design stuff in his companies, but we won't do it for ourselves because we have accepted that the white man is God. And the Jew in particular is God's chosen people. And we, it's something wrong with us, so the best we can do is take whatever crumbs the cracker throws out. Even if he throws out with it. Because we don't have any confidence in ourselves. And so, to me, our major problem is to not just that we're lazy, but we have a lack of confidence that if we were able to work hard, we can, in fact, overcome in a big way. Not just survive, but overcome in a big way, because we're going to be able to come up with new ideas and new methods and new products that's going to make us great again. So I talked a long while, so maybe there's other people who want to talk, but I just wanted to get over the point that it's a mental thing.
Right.
That battered housewife, that battered wife who don't want to leave her husband even though he's beating her up. He got other women on the side and got mama's babies everywhere, but she going to stick there and take that crap because he's made her to believe that she can't do no better. This is how we act towards this white world. So if we would study more of ourselves when we were great as a people,
right,
and then follow the instructions of a man who you see is great, then we can work our way up out of condition to a point where God can help us. God has said, come out of her, come together, unite. Well, we got to do that first before he gives us anything else.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. I have a question for the panel, if you so choose to answer it or bring up another topic. But in seeing all the death and the suffering that we see that's happening to our people, how much more suffering is it going to take for us to, a significant number of us, to realize that we have to physically separate from these people?
Well, this is something I've been, and my husband know, I've been saying this for a long time now. I think the masses of our people are waiting on us. When I say us, those who have accepted that God in the person of a man came to resurrect the black man and woman. Those of us who have accepted that, when our people see us separating to ourselves, like some of the other groups have done in this country, then I think they will see that there is an option right now, as long as we are right there next door to the people who are getting shot, to the people who are getting accosted by the police. We live in next door, down the street, around the corner from white folk in the same communities with the gates that you go in, pass keys. They see us doing that. And we're supposed to be the ones who have the supreme wisdom now. And I keep saying that until they see us making a move to separate among ourselves, they don't see that there is a choice. So we have to bear the brunt of the burden of the lack of movement for separation right now.
You know,
yes,
that's right, Suzanne. And if I could just add to that, that there's enough of us that say we believe, that are waiting on a few good men and women to make that move to show them that they can do it as well. Because this systematic and cultural, like you said it, Dr. Ridgely, when you talked about, you know, the dream that our young people have, and, you know, just thinking about how systematically and culturally we've been taken out of the mindset of working and achieving and producing for ourselves, and have been put in this mindset of this elusive dream, like you said, of being this one-hit wonder, or you're going to be the one to make it. You know, we've just been fed all of that. And, you know, we were fed that, and then some of us came into Islam, and until we break that cycle in our own minds by achieving separation in communities, some of us still have our own sense of doubt that we can even do it. Otherwise, why haven't more of us made separate communities? So those of us that will, we just have to do it. And sometimes I just have to kind of go inside, because sometimes, you know, we could talk and we can talk and we can talk and we can find ourselves doing more talking than doing. And I know that talking about this is helping the process, and we're going to do it. And we have to do it, like you said, Sister Ann, we have to do it. It's incumbent on us. Or why should any of us be left here on the earth if we're not going to put these teachings into a reality?
You know, one of the problems I see in the nation is that when we join in the nation, many times we don't know the people who are there in the mosque or study group with us. We don't really know them. And those ministries would have helped us to know each other. The Ministry of Agriculture has worked. We have another Founders Day. We're getting ready to do the Staple Goods Project on May 13th. We do activities that involve our members who are across the country. And through those activities and our conversations, we begin to learn one another. And you can see there's hope or potential of dealing with one another. So, for instance, like you, Brother Carlton, and Sister Majita, you all visited a Founders Day. And you visited a Founders Day and you made a decision. I want to help Muhammad Farms. I want to move to Georgia. It took you a while to make that decision. But then you made that decision because you saw some activity. And
right.
The way a rain happens is that it's not just the clouds, but there has to be some specks of sand that the moisture can coagulate around, and then after a while it gets so heavy that it drops to the ground. Well, it takes somebody to make a move, and not everybody can make a move. And ancient Egypt, or Kemet, the king was always shown with one foot a little bit in front of the other, because he was a type of personality that can make a move. Many of us are followers. We will do it after somebody else does it, but we don't want to be the one who goes out there first, because we don't want to fail. We don't want people to laugh at us. I mean, laughter is a terrible thing. You know, I'm gonna give you this little story, you know, personal in my life, and then, you know, I move on. My first wife, who I loved, brought from New York back to Carolina, and her sisters were death against her coming to North Carolina, back to the boonies, because they had in their minds of what they heard about what was going on in the South with lynchings, et cetera. And then me and my wife got divorced, and lo and behold, two of her sisters, the ones that was beating up on me, moved to Greensboro, North Carolina.
Wow.
So, you know, people have misconceptions about the South, and people have great expectations in terms of the big cities up north, and nobody wants to be the one to make that move. But when somebody makes the move and shows you that you can make it too, matter of fact, you can live better, then people make the move. So we're looking for a few, and this conversation we're having on Blog Talk is going to find more of that same mind, and then step by step, people are going to make moves, and then once it starts, it will be like an avalanche, but somebody's got to get it started. Now, we would love for somebody to come on the line and dispute with us. We would love to have a discussion with someone who believes that it's better to stay put in this circumstance to keep hope alive. I wish someone would come on so we can discuss that. Because if after 8 years of a black president who was intellectually immaculate, and 8 years of a perfect first lady, if after that we got to have some ADL training to teach Starbucks employees how to deal with black folk, if you think that you can keep the work keeping the hope alive under that, you are crazy as hell. Well, we would like to hear from your crazy behind. So call in and explain to us why we should stay in this lousy condition. Keep hope alive. Yeah, Bob Hope.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. We have a caller who wants to make a comment.
Okay.
Caller with the last four digits 0875. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, my name is Khadija. I'm calling from New York. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, last week I wanted to make this comment. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay. Last week I did I called in and we were speaking about the health care and that. And I just wanted to clear something up because I know I did say, you know, we should be able to take advantage of those things, okay, and not feel, stigmatized. But I wanted to also add that the other people are able to not be stigmatized because they're doing other things as well. Jewish people, they don't have to be stigmatized because they know that they own and everything else. Now, I just want to make the comment that in us separating, we have to be very careful that we don't get over dependent on these things, because it's also like a relationship in saying, okay, if you were the man that cheats, like Dr. Wrigley was saying, in the abusive relationship, it's like, okay, I know you cheating on me, but as long as you're going to pay me some money, you give me some money, I'll stay a little longer. And I think that's what we're kind of doing. You know, it's because these benefits that are out here, you know, it's one thing to take advantage of them for a little while you're working on creating for your own, you know,
right.
But you don't. I can't. All right. I'm sorry. I can't stay on too long. But I just want to clear that up. We don't want to be dependent on these things.
Right.
You know, we have to be, while you're having it for a short while, we have to develop our own systems. You know, get back to, you know, what worked for us in the past. We had no choice but to do for self, because we did it once upon a time. When you had nothing else, we had to create, and that's what we have to tap back into. You know, you cannot say we want to separate it, but I need a little bit of this Medicaid. You know, it's either you're going to go full force or not. You don't take that, you know. So that's what I just wanted to add.
Well, thank you, sister. And you,
you're
and
welcome.
Yeah, you're right, sister. We don't want to be dependent on the giveaway programs. And yes, the programs were set up to entrap us and to divide us. It's the way you don't need each other. As a matter of fact, a lot of the programs, when it comes to Section 8 and other of the public housing, you know, the man could not be there. So they really forced the woman to be by herself. This was all planned. But now we got to come above the plan. And, you know, fortunately, with Trump in position, threatening to wipe out everything. I just saw the day where he said, you're going to have to get a job or you'll lose welfare. So he is, in fact, running us to trying to find another way. Now, the difference between us in a segregated situation and us right now is that when we, because, you know, I'm old enough to know, you can leave your front door open, go to the store, and come back. Okay? You didn't have to worry about nobody breaking in your house. You didn't have to worry about a drug deal going bad. What they did to us over these last 40 to 50 years was to destroy the idea of neighborhood and trust. And then they split us all up. Those of us who got an education like I did, they take you away and you get a degree, and it's not seldom that you come back. Now, I came back, but it was only after I joined the Nation of Islam that I left Columbia University and came back to North Carolina and went to North Carolina A&T, 20 miles from my home. Otherwise, I would have been in that Columbia University, next thing, graduate school, maybe graduate school to Harvard, next thing a job in corporate America, next thing me being run all over the damn country and the world. That's what would have happened, and that's what did happen to a lot of our quote-unquote gifted ones. Then the other ones, a lot of get caught up into easy money with drugs, and so then they were taken off the street. So we have been attacked. Like a lion attacks wildebeest, and we've been pulled away from one another. Now we say we got to get back together, but we don't know one another. This is why we're asking people to come to Founders Day, and those who are retiring, come down to Founders Day. Let's meet one another. And when you retire, you've got a choice: you can stay where you are, or you can move to another location. Getting with some people of like minds, and don't retire, but inspire to move to the next level of redeveloping our businesses, our manufacturing, our production, our service industries, our food industries. Let's get together now and use what we have learned in his world that we really built for him. Now let's do it better for ourselves. But we got to get a chance to know one another. And in many times, even though you're in a mosque, in a study group, if you're not on a committee together, you come, you hear the lecture, you pay your charity, you get your papers, and you go home. You don't really find out who it is there with you. This is why these ministries are so important, that the ministers set up, so that we can learn one another, and through learning one another, have confidence that we can do with one another things that are real in terms of survival in a nation of our own.
Yes, sir. And on that note, Sister Mary has joined our panel. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Mary.
Wa alaikum salam, family. How is everybody doing?
Fine.
Fine.
That is very wonderful wonderful to hear. I wanted to acknowledge what I just heard from Sister Khadija from New York. As we all heard, that sister was in a lot of pain and is in a lot of pain. And she is like a lot of Black women who are suffering, and our children are suffering because of a lack of just a lack of will from the collective whole. We need and we must separate. And we are not going to be happy, have any level of self-fulfillment if we continue on this path. We don't need anything that this Caucasian has. Although in point number four, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad makes a request of help, of get of land for 20 to 25 years and everything that we would need to build a nation of our own for 20 to 25 years. But under these circumstances, don't look like we're going to get it. We still got to make some moves until
right.
they may, you know, be, get to a place in the future where they're willing to come up off of that level of assistance or help for us. They're not there yet. Okay, but while they're getting there, we need to be preparing and we need to be physically figuring out how we are going to live amongst each other. So I thank Sister Khadija for calling because, you know, it really just opens up a lot for us because we are suffering and we were told by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that we would suffer the consequences of integration, and we are suffering the chastisement of Allah because we refuse to sell the house that we're in or leave the place that we are, find some believers of like mind and like spirit, and we're not all like mind and like spirit. That's why we have to talk to each other. We have to be around each other. We have to travel with each other. You don't know who you could trust. You don't know if this person is a straight up hypocrite. That's why we have to be. I have a lot of friends in the Nation of Islam, but the only reason why I have friends in the Nation of Islam is because for years, I was very lonely because when I came in the nation, I read in the Holy Quran and I was taught, do not take disbelievers for friends. So you know what? All of the friends that I had in the world, I cut them off. And I was lonely for years in the Nation of Islam until Master Farad Muhammad connected me to sisters of like mind and like spirit. So you cannot have what it is that you want without sacrifice. We have to be willing to sacrifice what we think we got to get to where we're trying to go. I am tired, like most of us are tired, of being under this devil. We're tired. We are losing our own children. We're losing our babies to the world. We're losing each other to the world. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to get off of my little tangent or whatever, but I just really wanted to speak about what I heard the sister say. And also, I wanted to talk about what does a Black utopia look like. And we talk about separation, but what is separation for us? For, you know, I mean, like, separation for me might mean something different to somebody else. You know what I'm saying? So what is the ideal? Like, everybody has in their mind what it is that they want and what is it that they desire and the type of people that they want to live around, you know? So I think that we can discuss that because we're talking about like mind, like spirit. We already know, being on Facebook lets me know, we ain't all like-minded, and we ain't all like-spirit, and everybody that got an X in a Muhammad or RBG or whatever is not all, we're not all on the same page, but can we get along together? I think that we can if we learn to respect each other's views, you know? So we have to push forward and do what we're supposed to be doing, which is trying to figure out how we can get some land and put some people on it and control where we live, you know? So that's all I have to say and about that. So I don't make black man talk.
Yes, ma'am. Crazy to Allah.
Okay. Does anybody want to comment, or do you want to bring on another caller?
You have another caller?
What?
Yeah, they're calling now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bring
another
caller.
Okay.
I just want to say that I'm 100% agreement with what the sister just said. So bring
on
their
caller. I am too, Sister Mary.
Me too.
I'm not. I'm 110%.
Oh,
whatever.
Yes.
Okay, we're bringing on Sister Audrey from Kenya. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Audrey.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. How are you? How's everybody doing? I know everybody's doing okay. I can hear it in the spirit of the people. I can hear it in the spirit. I can hear it in your ear. I know that we are in that growth process, and like many of you may have or may have not heard, Flint got their water sources cut off, the free water that we were getting, and the water sources still contaminated here. As the sister said, Sister, I don't want to mess her name up, from New York, Sister Khadijah, was that her name? As she said,
yes.
We get so accustomed to getting handouts, and it's sad because the people here are so accustomed to getting handouts. They didn't realize that prior to tomorrow will make 4 years that they made the switch, the water switch. But prior to that, we were already drinking bad water with fluoride and chlorine in it. So, I mean, and it's sad because they don't realize that. And I look at them all the time and say, well, you know what? Before that, I was already buying my water. So I'm not really economically affected by them cutting the water source off because I was buying my water. And as Dr. Ridgely saw, I sent a text message with a picture of the filters that was taken from my home that had been replaced. And, I mean, this water is horrible. It was the water that's coming directly from the source. I was blessed to have a whole house filtration system put in my home a couple of years ago. The mosque in Detroit actually donated it to us because some of us up here. Some of us was able to buy some. I bought one and gave mine away, so they gave me one. Praise be to Allah for that. And it's sad because my service lines haven't been changed. They still got a couple more years before they change all of the service lines. So what do we do in the process? We can't sit up and wait on them to change the lead service lines. We have to take the steps that we need to take to make sure we got good, clean water or that we got good, clean food, those kind of things that's coming into our bodies. I got a filter that goes on my water hole for me to be able to water my garden outside. They have places that sell those around here too. You know, it's things that we have to start learning how to do for ourselves to make sure that we take it care of. I agree. I'm like the sister just said, I own my home. I don't owe anything on it. It's a little harder for me to say, get back to buying another house because I own this house. But it's going to come that moment where I got to say, forget it. I just found out my next door neighbor has bought maybe a couple of houses on the block, and he's looking to buy up the whole block, he said. So when I get ready to leave, inshallah, he'll be ready to take on my house. He know what it's like. He live right next door. We talk all the time. We had common trees cut down, so we talk all the time about what's going on with our houses and things. So she's absolutely correct. We have to be ready to let go of things and move on. Now, I'm going to just say this, and I'll close because I know we got other people that's calling in. I heard a brother say to me, he said, Sister, this city is up for sale. We can buy this city up. Okay, but guess what? Yeah, they want to run us up out of town, but it don't make a difference if they run us up out of town or not. They're going to find a way to get us up out of these houses because they already create laws that saying this is going to be a green area. We're going to close this down and make it a historical area. They're finding ways with taxes and anything that they can are not allowing you to make modifications and updates to your property. So, therefore, you're going to have to move out. I said let them have it because if it's intended for them to have, they'll have it. But if it ain't intended for them to have, Allah make sure that it don't happen for them. So they can have the property. It don't make a difference. The key is to getting ourselves into a community where we all live in close together. And inshallah, if it be the will of Allah, this Sunday, I'm supposed to teach part of the lesson this Sunday on separation. So I've been reading, I've been studying, and it's becoming more of a reality to me. I know my family, they say, do you really want to leave? Yes, I do. If you know like I know, you'll get up and be ready to leave with me if you know what I know about this city. They can have this. You know, we don't care about it. But inshallah, what's going to happen is, inshallah, we'll see you all at Founders Day. I'm getting a group together to come down. That's our plan, is to come down for Founders Day so we can start looking around a little bit. So hey, I greet you all as I came to you with assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Walaikum salam.
Crazy.
Looking forward to that, Sister Audrey. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. It's a shame that poison got to run you out, but we would love to have you.
That's right. Some's got to run us out of these cities.
That's
we got
true.
Brother Kenneth. We got Brother Kenneth from Dublin, Georgia. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Kenneth.
Wa alaikum salam, beloved. Wa alaikum salam, beloved family. How are you?
Fine.
Hi.
Hello. I don't know. How are you, brother?
Dr. Ridley, my birth name of Big Head Scientist, who I got it from. I am doing well by Allah's grace. Just wanted to make a few comments based on some of what Dr. Ridley said and some of the other call-ins. One, this July 4th Founders Day will be 88 years that we have had the supreme technology. I mean, the supreme wisdom. And Dr. Ridley said it's a mental block that we're having. And like the minister said, fear restricts us. And I agree with you, Doc. It is a mental block. So the minister gave us, because he too realized that it was something mentally going on, because we've had this supreme wisdom for so long. Well, not for so long, but for 80 plus years. So to that comment, that mental block, I would strongly suggest that Dianetics, the science of mental health, to help us separate the reactive from the analytical mind, or the devil mind from our God mind in our head. Secondly, right behind that, the separation, in my humble opinion, has to start mentally. I was listening to a tape by the minister on faith, and he said that a lot of us say we believe, but faith has not yet entered into our hearts. So most of us, in my opinion, have submitted to the truth, but we haven't accepted it and believed it and moved out, because it's going to take belief in order to move out, like some of us have done, like Brother Carlton and his wife and Dr. Ridley down on the farm and everything, because we believe. We couldn't see what was ahead of us, but we believe what the minister and the messenger is teaching and has taught us. I think that was it. We just got to submit and surrender and move out and let God handle the rest, because separation is going to take place, like the Dr. Ridley said, that the minister told him. Whether we do it or not, we're going to be forced to separate. And I'd rather be choosing to separate versus forcing to separate. That was it. And Dr. Ridley, the contact you gave me, or we got in touch, we now have about 15 sheep, about 12 goats, and 6 cows, and we got another 8 cows coming this Saturday.
Okay.
We're doing great on this end. And we fenced in 12 acres.
Okay. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, sir.
I want to differentiate between faith and belief in the teachings, and faith and belief in the individual within the teaching. You know, we have a lot of lack of confidence. You say, accept your own and be yourself. Well, you say, who is yourself? A righteous Muslim? Yes, but under what aspect? You know, under what vibration? Under what attribute? So, who are you? What are you the master of? What do you want to be the master of? If you have a feeling that you can master, then you can master separation, because you know what you're going to do to be able to survive in the trade with somebody else who has something. But if you don't have any confidence in yourself that you can handle any situation that's brought before you, then you're afraid of going to tackle something new, because you lack confidence in yourself as an individual to be able to overcome the obstacles. So now we got to take our teachings to another level. It's not just faith in Allah, faith in the nation, faith in the minister. No, faith in yourself.
Right.
Okay? That no matter what happens, you're going to try to figure a way out of the bad situation to make it better. And to have the confidence that you can do that, and Allah will bless you to do that. But when you do not have any confidence in yourself, then you begin to blame other people for you not making a move. Whereas really, you lack confidence in your individual capabilities. You have confidence in your will, in your strength. You're not sure whether you're going to give up or not. And I say, pray and accept who you are, that you are an overcomer. Your ancestors overcame. You can overcome. Don't allow them to make you believe that you're just going to fall down like a wet rag and not get up. You got to believe that you will overcome whatever obstacle is in front of you. Then you begin to take on some challenges. I see that it's just a personal lack of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
3 minutes. 3 minutes left in the show. I have one more caller. Did we want to let the caller in, panel, to see if he, I can ask him to take 2 seconds? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Caller, last 4 digits, 0522. Walaikum Salaam. What's your name and where you calling from? And you got 30 seconds.
Right, this is Brother Leroy Shabazz out of Cincinnati, Ohio. Salaam alaikum. I just want to share my appreciation for everyone who has brought this process and this dialogue of a time to leave, a time to separate. The process and the dialogue is very important. I was studying today, why does the devil keep our people illiterate? And that's the overall collective. Our people have been kept illiterate so that they can be used as tools and slaves. And that's what the enemy is doing, and he's doing it very well. So we have to have these dialogues. We have to have the dinner table discussion. We have to share with our people and with each other, because what is our social equality? And that's what this the time to leave thing shows, and the separation aspect shows, is the fact that we are about to show a more profound social equality for others to see.
Thank you very much, Brother Leroy. And we're down to the last minute. So closing statements, and then we're going to have to make our announcements for next week.
If I could say something real quick. This is Sister Majida. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Who was that?
No, you go ahead, Sister Majida.
I'm just going to go real quick, Sister Ann. I just wanted to thank Dr. Ridgely for what he just said about putting the focus on our own selves individually. And we could talk more about that in the next show, but I just wanted to thank him for putting that out there. Thank you.
Right, and also, I think that's a good thing. We need to make a note of that so that we will have some dialogue to start with. And one of the other things I think we can do on the next dialogue program is to finish out Sister Mary's question as giving our visions of what our separate communities will look like, because I have one. So I think our next show we can talk about that and what Sister Vegeta just put on the table, as well as some other things.
And next week?
Next week. Yes, sir, Dr. Ridgely. Well, you know, Dr. Ridgely, we're recruiting, aren't we? The Time to Leave movement is recruiting. If you would like to be a part of the Time to Leave movement, you can join one of our task forces. Go to timetoleave.us and you see task forces. Number two, spread the word. If you like this Blog Talk Radio show, tell your friends. And we actually have a flyer that you could use on your social media, and you can print it out and share with people. Once again, that's on the website too, timetoleave.us/radio, and there's a download button where you can download the flyer. Last but not least, next week's show is going to be titled Physically Relocating to Build Community. Your host will be Sister Majida Muhammad and yours truly, Brother Carlton, and we look forward to having you on. So thank you very much for participating, and may Allah bless you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Won't you help me? just out of Moscow. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel.
Uh-huh.
Not just my spare tire.
Oh.
But Lord, I ask you
oh.
to be my force of truth.
Oh.
For some strange reason, it had to be.
Oh.
He guided me to Tennessee.
Oh.
Then out of nowhere, you tell me to break out of the country and into more countries.
Woo!
Fast eyes burst into Ripley,
uh-huh.
where the ghost of childhood haunts me. Walk the road my forefathers walk, climb the trees my forefathers hung from.
Mm.
Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young.
Oh.
Go back to whence you came.
Oh.
My family tree, my family name.
Oh.
For some strange reason, it had to be.
Oh.
He guided me to Tennessee.
Oh.
Down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. He said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth and he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said, what I am.